This is the podcast for Word in Hand, a performance and storytelling gig held on the first Tuesday of every second month at the Red Rattler in Marrickville on Gadigal Wangal land in Sydney. This podcast may contain adult languages and themes that may not be suitable for all listeners. With thanks to our community of storytellers, let's begin.
Hello, friends. How are you tonight? This is your MC Caramel Sauce in the building. We are excited for our second edition of Word in Hand, and I'm standing here in front of Candy Royale's incredible mural. Big respect, sister. Love you and miss you every day. We are so excited for tonight's show. We've got Muhammad Awad, Malaika Green, and Felicia Fox, who is an iconic Indigenous drag queen who also has a hand in the political whirlpool. We're so proud of our young Indigenous artists going out there making a difference in the world. I hope you enjoy the show as much as I do, because I think it's pretty special. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Thank you for making it out on this rainy day. There is a 3-minute limit on the open mic in it. 3-minute limit on the open mic in it. Y'all heard what I said? So to open our open mic, we have Ida. Yes, Ida.
She tastes like ash on my lips. I feel her hands press against my heart, and I am breathless. I welcome her into my body like a long-lost lover. There is familiarity here in the way she presses her mouth to my throat, exhales sharply onto my skin so that all my hairs stand on end, curls fingers around my biceps to pin me in place, and I am captured. I am so used to her being here that I no longer fear her presence. Have grown accustomed to the feeling of choking when she's near, but there is nothing romantic about our relationship. There is nothing beautiful about the way anxiety burrows its way into your life, makes a home curled up against the contours of your body, yet I can't stop writing poetry about her. Can't help the way my brain blurs her edges, paints her warm and rose-colored. When they introduced me to anxiety, they said she electrified the body. Painted pictures of heightened drama, panic attacks like performances, act one, scene one, the girl starts breathing heavily, scene two, she begins to cry, act three, scene four, she stops functioning altogether, but she liquefies me, makes me soft with vulnerability and lightheadedness. When she fills up the spaces between my ribs, she leaves no room for other women. Reminds me that the world doesn't want her to leave room for other women. Sometimes I feel like I am more than a fusion of atoms, more than this calcium frame. I can name all 206 bones in my body, but she pulls at them until I am expanded. Until I no longer recognize my rib cage, no longer think about Sappho as salvation, until I can't rinse this charcoal from my teeth. My body is her crematorium. Every evening she lights me on fire again and again and again, and my lungs fill with ash.
That was straight fire! Thank you, Ida. I am a fan. Next, we have one of my favorite persons in the world, Elliot!
It's December 25th, 1999, and there are only half the number of presents under this tree as there were last year. Mum says, we'll get the rest tonight when we go to Dad's, but I'm 7, so patience has a steep learning curve, and I've never been good with heights. It's December 25th in the year 2000. My brother, sister, and I wake at Dad's because apparently the fairest way to divide a family holiday is to alternate the beds the kids wake up in each year. And so each Christmas, the three of us were the present one parent got to open. Why would Santa choose the chimney when this house itself is broken? That was the year we stopped believing in him, of course. No room for fairy tales among children of divorce. December 25th, 2001, and I receive gifts with the reluctant grace of heirlooms. Not sure if I am meant to unwrap them or they are meant to unwrap me. Mum says she can always tell when I'm deep in thought that I hold my tongue to the side, vice grip between my teeth, and I say nothing of all the things waiting to unwrap me at Dad's. You get good at only ever being half sad on a half holiday, and I guess my teeth make a pretty good leash because they bite down hard. December 25th, 2011. My brother, sister, and I wake at Mum's for the third year running. You see, decisions often have a shorter shelf life than the people that make them, and this is a day of giving after all, and Lord knows we have given it our all. My psychologist says, I bottle things up too much. As if the words I would otherwise choose were liquid to take on the shape of a body better at existing than this one, but a thing can sit in your mouth only so long before it turns to stone, and I've spent a decade trying to draw blood from this one, so don't you dare expect me to let up now. Yes. December 24th, 2017. You see, each holiday has its mourning period, so we celebrate the night before to avoid that. This is still a day of giving after all, but only so long as we lose something. And if that makes Father Christmas a carnivore, then I suppose that is at least one thing this day cannot give me that I do not already have. My best friend says she can always rely on me to have an opinion on everything. And she'll add the words that make my name just to hear what I have to say. And I'll type 16 years of silence into my opinion of the Academy Awards like the best actor here could be anyone other than me. December 25th, 2018. Mum asks, why do you hate Christmas so much? And I, of course, blame the carols. Cut my palms over my ears and cringe my neck. Meanwhile, my body is genuflected somewhere between an unwrapped box and the Star of Bethlehem, like a tongue between two rows of teeth, hoping to finally open something that will bite into me hard enough to draw blood. Thank you.
Bella.
I love y'all. Hey y'all, how are you doing? Okay. Hera Lindsay Bird writes of the Library of Alexandria burning in alphabetical order. But I wonder, did they not start as they did with all holy places with the soft flesh bodies before burning the vellum and papyri? And I'm trying not to think of my own body, of its own encounters with flame and steel. I look at myself in the mirror and I am only a body, an ashen imitation reflecting back, woman, monster, body. I write a poem about Circe, the witch goddess of ancient Greece, banished to an island by her father for daring to be more than a quiet body, who turned Odysseus's men into pig bodies and who used her body to Odysseus's body so that he would never use his body against hers. And in that poem I write, between a woman and a monster, between a goddess and a witch, a body of water, a fire to hum with. And I know, a woman is not a body, not a slab of flesh in a warm bed or on a cold metal table. A woman is not a body, is not a tongue, is not a mouth, is not a tongue to be bitten, chained by syntax and romantic metaphor. A woman is not a body, not tits, thighs, ass. A woman is not a body, not a strawberry heart or cherry lip gloss, not bubblegum popping dream house. A woman is not a temple, doors open wide, blood oozing down her holy steps. Actually, scratch that. A woman is not a temple, period. She cannot be desecrated. Yes. A woman is not a rib, not a second or an afterthought. A woman is not a metaphor, except that she is. And I am all of these things and none of these things, and I want to set them all on fire and salt the ashes flickering into breath. A woman is not a siren. At least, not the ocean kind lullabying you sweetly into oblivion, but that keening sound, bleeding in the dark, splitting open the night sky. At that sound, every one of us looks up in unison, wonders if this time that will be us. And meanwhile, somewhere in Alexandria, the library is still burning, and I am wailing, a bleeding siren wading through the smoke. So I remind myself, a woman is not a body, a woman is not a body, a woman is not a body, is not a body, is not a body. I am not a body. I am not a body. I am not the product of his actions. I am not a body. I am my own. For what is a woman, if not the home I make for my own damn self? Between a woman and a monster is a body of water that I call home. A woman is a forest, blooming, 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 pouring light and color and oxygen back into the sky. A woman is a novel, rewriting herself forever and ever until she burns for a woman or asking for it or grab 'em by the out of every single person's vocabulary. A woman is an idea, yes, but she's not your idea. A woman is a dictionary, the keeper of any word brave enough to speak itself into existence, which is to say a woman speaks herself into existence, which is to say she is all of these things and none of these things, and what you say has absolutely nothing to do with it. Shira Ehrlichman writes, I believe in courages more than courage. If courages was a bird, like a murder of crows, it would be a practice of courages. Here I hold out my practice of courages, and my hands will shake, and that is okay. Because a woman is not a body, unless you mean a body of water, waves breaking, sweeping across the shore, kissing our feet, saying yes, yes, we may rest here, saying yes, we will march here, until we are the new horizon. And the dawn breaking, sweeping across every body of water, so that young people everywhere can point and say, there, I am that light. I am that body of water, that fiery potential. I am that woman, goddess, monster, witch. And I am my own. Thanks, y'all.
People be setting fire to it.
All right, we're backstage here at Word in Hand April 2019. Super excited. I have Felicia Fox in front of me. Nice to meet you, Felicia. First time we've actually met.
Yeah, it's lovely to meet you. And first time popping my Word in Hand cherry as well. So it's very excited to be here.
And so we understand that you're a drag queen and quite a well-known and respected drag queen. What would you say is your, you know, point of difference in drag?
No, I think I love to bring something new to every performance. I love to bring my story, and I love to tell a story through my drag. The same as Aboriginal art, traditional art, painting and telling a story through paint, the traditional dance, I love to always bring to the stage a new message, a key message every single time I perform for somebody who's, you know, might be struggling with their identity or might be struggling with their weight size. And hopefully just seeing me up on stage and sharing that message and having a heartfelt touch performance, that really inspires somebody.
And what got you started in drag?
So I was always stealing my mum's clothes and heels out of her cupboard when I was younger. And I was in love with Tina Turner. She was an amazing woman. And I always used to do Proud Mary at every single party we had when I was growing up. And I used to make the birthday boy or girl sit in the chair, and I used to come out all frocked up and chuck myself around. And, yeah, I think from there... And then being mentored from the Broken Hill mentorship program with Fillmore Box and Maud Boat, just two amazing legendary drag queens. After, you know, being taught what they had to go through and The theme this year for Mardi Gras was absolutely perfect, fearless, and knowing how fearless those elders are for us who've led the pathway and opened up these pathways, and to have them available today to still be able to be in this day and age and have so many great platforms and so many communities accepting and just being inclusive of everybody.
What is it about the art form of drag that you love so much?
I think being able to be in drag and be this amazing, elegant, extravagant woman and then being able to go home and still be me, Wendell. I love being able to go in between the two, because when I'm Felicia, it's just amazing. The feeling I have, there's this fire in my tummy and it makes me hungry for more every single time. You know, hearing messages from people saying that I've inspired them, it just makes me hungry for more to empower other people to be their most charismatic and unique selves. Just the art of drag is amazing, can make you feel untouchable, on top of the world.
And being that you're popping your word in hand, Cherry, tonight, tell us a little bit about the act that you're doing for us tonight.
So tonight I'm doing the Who You Are by Jessie J. And that song really, really means a lot to me. Growing up, struggling with my identity, I used to go home and I used to, like she said at the start of the song, I stare at my reflection in the mirror, wondering why am I doing this to myself. That's the first line of the song. And I always used to sit in the mirror. I did attempt suicide once, and that song really, really touches my heart, and it inspired me and it empowered me to still be here to this day and sitting here having this conversation with you now, and hopefully me performing that and doing and saying be who you are. One person from this room tonight, hopefully they'll go out feeling more empowered to be themselves, who they are.
Well, thank you so much for being so open and sharing a few words with us. We're really, really lucky and really proud and really excited to have you at Word in Hand tonight. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your time, and break a leg. You'll be amazing.
Thank you. Can't wait to get up on that stage.
To watch Felicia's performance, go to wordinhand.com.au. All right. We are backstage here at Word in Hand, and I have here with me
Malaika Green. Hi.
Hi, Malaika. Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming to Word in Hand tonight. Would this be your first performance at Word in Hand?
Yes, I've seen a few shows before, but this is my first time performing.
So for those out there listening who don't know who are you? What do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a musician, singer, songwriter, and activist. So when I started writing music from quite a young age as a coping mechanism, and that kind of turned into my career, which means my music is very raw and personal to myself. And as you know, I became more aware of the political climate, I started to integrate that into my songwriting. And so a lot of my work is politically based, striving for change and at the hands of bigotry and white supremacy.
You touched earlier about, you know, getting into music as a way of a coping mechanism. What was it that you needed to cope from?
Basically, I've been living with a mental illness since I can remember. I started singing when I was very young, from the age of 5, but I started writing poetry when I was around 10, and started writing songs when I was about 13. And that it was just a way for me to... Have you ever screamed underwater?
Yes, I actually have. Yeah.
It's that feeling for me, that feeling of relief, but not only am I screaming, but I'm, you use the same muscles to scream as you do to sing. And for that, I'm kind of getting it out, projecting it out. But not only that, I'm using my words, words that I've written, words that are very close to me, where I can just feel what I'm feeling and just feel like I can breathe afterwards.
In terms of the Word in Hand event, why is something like this in a community like this so important?
I find that when you share something very personal, when you can get a glimpse into somebody else's heartache, it can kind of shed light on your own, in that you can kind of acknowledge it more, feel like you can express it more. And also you can just feel somebody else's heartache, and just, it's a very human and raw experience that I think more people should endeavor in more often, because empathy is just the root of being human. And I think the art and love, and art is such a powerful medium to express that.
What will you be performing tonight?
So I'm going to be showcasing some of my songs for my upcoming album called Sex and Politics.
Well, thank you for having a voice, or being brave enough to have a voice, for being an artist and an activist and being so passionate, which you clearly are, and we're really excited to see you perform tonight. And thank you so much again for coming along to Word in Hand.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is the most recent song that I've written, and it is very much politically motivated, as it's about. I equate mass shootings and police brutality against people of color as a form of genocide, because it is. So this is called Another Lost Carcass.
There's a gun to my head and I can't think of a thing, but I can't breathe. Will I fall alone with a bullet in my brain? Love for dead since slavery has been. I think of the thousands, my numbers yet to come, and instead of it being printed on my arm, it's though I walk through a chamber with my peers of racial labor. We stare at the gas, knowing this breath is our lives. 'Cause our lives didn't matter. Our lives didn't matter. They punched me down on suburb streets, assuming a crime of my defeat, screaming, I can't breathe. Now I die alone like this, blood on my sleeve. But walking down the street, my color convicts me. Will this be my final thought as the light encroaches in? I'm another lost carcass in the dark. Though I walk through a chamber with my peers of racial labor, we stare at the gas, knowing this breath is our lives. 'Cause our lives didn't matter. Our lives didn't matter. Chokehold for selling cigarettes, for a broken taillight, they beat me till I'm brain dead. Walking in a hoodie, put my neck through a guillotine. His name was, her name was, their name was rest in peace. It's though I walk through a chamber with my peers of racial labor, we stare at the gas, knowing this breath is our last. Thank you.
So this last song is another one of those sexy songs I was bragging about. It's about that feeling when you're just at work or just chilling, and like your brain just intrusively flashes back to a sexy time that you've had, and you're just like, I'm just like, shit, I got work to do, damn. It's also about that feeling where you you're able to entrust somebody with your body and your mind. This is called You Made Me Go. Cause you're on.
are backstage here at Word in Hand, and I am with
Muhammad Awad.
Muhammad, you are a poet, I understand. So my first question would probably be, why poetry? Why storytelling?
Oh God, that's a loaded question. First things first, poetry is free. It's the cheapest one. You don't need to buy canvases, you don't need to buy paint, you don't need to buy a piano, you just write. It is the most natural, freest form of writing.
And for those out there who don't know who you are, what you're about, tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a psychology and health student at University of Sydney. Third year, I work in the Northern Sydney Local Health District and the Forensic Hospital. So I work at Royal North Shore, Macquarie and Hornsby Hospital as well as a peer worker and mental health worker.
So you're smart as well as talented.
I mean, you said that, not me.
Oh my gosh, he's a force.
And I've just turned 20.
Oh, shut the front door.
I turned 20 yesterday, literally yesterday I turned 20.
Mate, I'm turning 40 in about 7 days.
You're making me feel really unaccomplished right now.
No, don't you dare, don't you even. I'm about to crash.
Speaking of tonight and Word in Hand, this is your first time performing with us, isn't it?
Yes, it is. My first time performing at Word in Hand, actually, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the works and the poetry that you're going to perform tonight.
I'm going to very charmingly try to transition into my love and breakup poems. That's sort of where I live. I live inside of that and inside my political sort of poetry. Breakup, mental health, and love poems for the night. And I'll take you guys on a journey with me through my last relationship.
We've all had one of those, friend, haven't we?
A couple, a few dozen. No comment. Mum, I hope you're not watching this or listening to this. I have no idea. This is being coaxed out of me.
Well, we're so excited to have you with us tonight, Muhammad, and we're really excited to listen to you perform.
I'm excited to see you guys see me perform. I'm excited for that too.
Award.
So tonight, I want to take you on a little journey through my last relationship. Yes, I know.
I'm so ready.
I met you 5 days before your flight to London, and this wasn't meant to last more than a few hours, but I stayed the night for the first time. And then the night after that, and then the night after that, you gave me limited edition love. A 5-day free trial. Don't know if I'll be able to afford it after a while. After all, I'm a broke uni student. Poor in judgment, but never in style. Quick to claim love and slow to accept denial. I want to know its worth. How much of you will I get to see? How much access do I have to your inner angels and demons without inhibitions or closed off secrets? I want to see you. Stuck in a closet with one-way mirror screens, I want to be on the other side of this interrogation room. I want to tell you I am not here to play good cop or bad cop. I am here to love you. To be your lawyer when your patience is on trial. To be your psychologist when you're reaching the end of your emotional wire. To be your poet when you can't find the words, and to be your lover when everything falls apart and you just need a pair of arms to be held together in. And I don't want this relationship to seem transactional, but I've paid my money, time, and love to failed partnership business ventures before. I'm no wolf on Wall Street, but Lord, do I know a venture capitalist when I see one. Seeking an opportunity in me, low risk, high reward, an easy target. Your body aflame, oh, we only needed a bed sheet to keep us warm. Threw off the duvet and turned love from what was once a chore, but you threw me off. Said, I want to get a mortgage on this love. Make this big commitment now and slowly pay off my debt to you. Slowly wipe off the fear that love that of slowly wipe off the fear of love society entrenched in you. Gradually scrape the anxiety that past lovers crept within you. Happily pay you in security, stability, and love installments so you can eventually say the words, I love you, back to me. I know it may take years to say because you got so used to hearing the word said. I know it may take years because you got so used to hearing the word not saying back, not being said back to you. Fuck, I fucked that up. Just like he did. And I was in shock. Someone call OH&S because this love is a health risk. You put me in cardiac arrest, except I was the victim and you were the cop. Lock me up if that's what you're into. This isn't what I meant when I said I wanted to cuff you. But do what you please with this body because my love is ethereal. It is not of this world and cannot be tied to the material. When this body dies, my love lives on. It can never be housed in a space so small anyway. I've never been good with risk assessment. There's a couple red flags, but you proudly wave them in the open. Honesty is a word I hear being talked about but never spoken. With you, I feel you tell me if I didn't fall with grace. And it's a good thing gambling is forbidden in my religion because I've never had the best of luck. But I think I might have just won the lottery. Thank you. This is for that moment where you're like, oh, you're cheating on me. But, like, I'm nice enough to, like, blame it on everything else except your literal actions. Anyway, I'm a dumb bitch. I drank the dumb bitch juice so much. Call me over to your house so you may sleep in a different room. You tell me you are sick, and yet still you have the will to evade my touch. Lean off my shoulder at the cost of my smolder. You make me feel like a man, like I have no one to cry to. Have me talking to you more, texting my mother less. If I saw my mother in you, I'd remember we hadn't spoken in 4 days. That's how I know this love is no longer blessed. I didn't touch you for a day to see how long it would take for you to hold me. I waited till tomorrow. And then the next week. Here, take this cyanide pill if you ever feel you might say the words, I love you. Under no circumstances do I want this love to be toxic. No addictive drugs will be prescribed at this pharmacy. This love is like surgery in the dark. Poetry in the park, I gave you Shakespeare in the stars. All the gothic romance complete with the tragic past. Without the Elizabethan class, we wear cotton on sweatpants. Watch them melt into our Adidas sneakers. Witness our beards connect like a choir to a preacher. Asking God, is this love to be or not to be? Indeed, we are both Romeos. I fear we both may pray to the moon for our lungs to fail. That we would much rather die. That we would much rather kill ourselves. That we would cry suicide at the sight of the death of our love. Awesome. How much time do I have left? One more. Perfect. That's what I had planned. So awesome. Okay, this last one is called Masterpiece. Oh, bitch, please. Please. That's sort of the gist of the poem, I think. And I just want to say I wrote this poem and I made a premonition in the poem. And it, honest to God, came true, like in a scary way. Like some Ada, she's in a she. Ada and Zarendra know it. I'm actually a witch. Like I'm convinced. You can ask me about it later. I have the receipts. Anyway, this is Masterpiece. I get so caught up in your lies and reasons, your rhyme and rhythm. I just want to be free of your iambic pentameter. I write our names in cursive to convince myself we're still connected. Put band-aids on our hurting to convince myself we're still protected from accusations, accusations. Call us kings of procrastination. When it comes to love, we're slow to act. Because once we have that talk, there's no coming back from confrontation. Oh, how blind we become when we're asked to find flaws in our love. I will make every excuse before I could admit I was used. Before I could admit I was a placeholder so you could find something to improve or someone you preferred more. And I wonder if he is in the same place as me. If he'll find some solace in my poetry a few weeks from now, and how long it'll be until you're content in your love. I feel like I paid for a masterpiece and received an expensive fake. A painting that can only mimic love, a subject that has only ever seen true love walk past as it sits in hollow frames, wondering why no one ever stays to stare into its eyes, to look through murky watercolors and to see acrylic. A piece from a failed amateur that wants to be a holy relic. You wanted to be like Lord. You wanted to hang in the Louvre. And I was willing to give you my back as a pedestal so that you could reach heights you couldn't meet on your own. Wondering who else you could fool into thinking you were real and that you belonged in a room full of genuine expression. How ironic that I, the painter, saw the value in you. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. We really appreciate your presence. We'd like to thank the Red Rattler, East Side Radio, Red Room Poetry. Thank you to the volunteers, our podcaster, all the performers. Thank you so much. What a fucking incredible evening of performances. Thank you guys for coming. So much love, respect. Stay and dance with me if you want. You know I can shake this ass. Okay, peace.
Word in Hand is supported by the Red Rattler Theatre, Red Room Poetry and Eastside Radio. Visit wordinhand.com.au for our upcoming shows, podcast episodes and poetry magic.